be able to ask of him favors. And we got the opportunity to give him thanks. And how good and gracious he has been to us. We have seen yet another week. We enjoy yet another Lord's Day. And this is nothing for us to take for granted. It is a blessing from him. It is increased opportunity to right the wrong in us and to continue our journey towards eternity. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared set of persons. We continue our study from the book of St. John, chapter 14, where we have taken the topic of the lesson from verse 22. And in verse 22, it reads, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Last week we began to frame the context of this text. And in the text, we recognize that it is one of three areas. Well, in the context, one of three areas that the discourse of Jesus Christ is broken. Because, from a few chapters back, if we have our Bibles with the indication when Jesus is speaking in red, then we'll see that there's a lot of red when we read these chapters. But on occasions, we see questions and comments and statements being made, and this is but one. And in this break in Jesus' discourse, we see the question being asked, how is it that thou wilt manifest unto us and not to the world? But this question is not the focus of our attention, because while this is an interesting thing to consider, we want to recognize the statement, not Iscariot. Our focus is on that inspiration comment, not Iscariot. Recognize with me that though this verse embodies question, and though it goes and articulates and shows that a particular person said something in the person of Judas, inspiration took its place. And it is almost as if there is a deliberate, conscious effort for us to recognize that this Judas is not Iscariot. We spent the session last week looking at the immediate context of this chapter, of this verse in chapter 14. And as we looked at the context, and when we talk about the immediate context, we usually take a few verses above and after. And let us take this as a part of the learning. Because as we study, it is always important not to just rely on a statement or a text, but we must always look what has framed this, what has occasioned this. You know, I like to use the illustration that I could go to the Bible, and if I take it out of context, I can say that the Bible teaches, or the Bible says, there is no God. Yes, I can take you to Scripture, and I can, in the Bible, bring you to a statement that says, there is no God. But we must always, as we investigate God's word, make sure that we put things in context. Because if I just read that in Psalms, without the context, I would not see that in the same place where that statement is made, the context says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So it is always important for us to understand context. And so it is that we have been looking at the context around this statement, not Iscariot. And we picked up from about verse 15 of the chapter. And if we were to summarize what Jesus Christ in his discourse, in his instruction, as he spoke to his audience, what we see coming out are three distinct things. We see him talking about the Holy Spirit. We see Jesus Christ speaking about love. And even though I've separated it and taught and made a third, tied up in love is his word, or his saying, truth. Because as we looked through, we saw things like, if you love me, keep my commandments. So I should probably add commandments here. So there's no way we can demonstrate love without keeping the commandment and the word, the sayings of Jesus Christ. But we saw as well that the Holy Spirit continued to feature, because Jesus Christ indicated that though I am a comforter, when I go, I am going to send the comforter, the Holy Spirit, to you. And so we also saw in the whole context of this discourse that there is a distinction between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we are placing emphasis on this because when we conclude this whole study, this is part of the truth that we want to appreciate. That God is not, as some persons would want us to believe, on a quest to confuse us. To think that when we speak of God and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that they are one and the same person. God is not trying to confuse us. They are three distinct persons in the Godhead. There are three distinct personalities with one aim, with one shared set of characteristics, God. But they are three distinct persons. So we don't want to allow ourselves to get confused by some persons who would say the Father is the Son, is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the Father. That's confusing. God is not on a quest to confuse us. But coming back to the immediate context, and when we ended last week, we, you know, having started the journey from verse 15, we had reached back to verse 22. And we are continuing and recognize again that the emphasis continued to be that if you love me, then you are going to keep my word. So I think we were at verse 23. Do I have a reader today? Or I'm the reader today. And so in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. So you see, the love and the words, the commandments keep echoing, keeps repeating. And I like verse 24. It's like Jesus is saying, and Jesus really was the master teacher. And he's saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I said, just in case you don't understand what are my commands, or just in case you get confused, and everywhere you hear the word commandments, you think about the Ten Commandments. And there are some persons who make that mistake. That everywhere they see the word commandment, all they see is the Ten Commandments. But as Jesus continued his discourse, you know, he continued in verse 23, as we just saw, to use things like my words. If you love me, keep my words. You know, and we see him using things like sayings, and he makes reference to his truth. But verse 24, again, Jesus Christ masterfully teaches. And just in case you don't get it in the positive frame, he makes the same point in a negative frame. And he says, he that loveth me not. So just in case you don't get it, if you love me, keep my commandments, he's saying, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the words which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. And notice again the emphasis. The Father, a distinct person, who has sent me, another distinct person. So over and over, we are seeing in this context that Jesus Christ is distinct from the Father, is distinct from the Holy Spirit. And in verse 26, we are continuing the context. Then it tells us and teaches us that the Holy Spirit is again distinct from Christ. The Holy Spirit is distinct from the Father, because he again emphasizes the Comforter. And he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. So we see distinctly the Holy Spirit. We see distinctly the Father. We see distinctly Christ. You know, Christ is writing or speaking. So when we see the reference to my and I, then this is in reference to Jesus Christ. So is Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit trying to confuse us by making it out as if they are three distinct persons when they are one and the same. No, he's not. But we'll say more on that as time rolls on. Having looked at this near context, the verses above and below, verse 22, I want us to step a little further. Because having looked at this near context, I want to look at a wider context. And again, brethren and friends, the study of God's word often necessitates us looking even beyond the immediate context for us to get a good understanding of what the message is. And so I want to, for the rest of the lesson, look at some of the things that were coming out in the wider context of this verse 22. So while we are seeing in the immediate context the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, while we are seeing in the immediate context the importance of love and how that is tied and intertwined in the words and the sayings and the commands of Jesus Christ, we want to recognize that even in this emphasis on the Holy Spirit that we see in this chapter 14, that this is really a continuation of a very large discourse by Jesus Christ. And I would want to pick this up from about chapter 13 to just to get a wider context. Because what we see is that Jesus Christ took upon himself to instruct his audience, to speak to his audience. And I find it interesting that he covered a range of things, part of which we are particularly interested in respect to the Holy Spirit. But I want us to realize that in the wider context, that while the Holy Spirit has an emphasis in where we are centering our study, that from chapter 13, Jesus Christ started to do some instruction. And it says in verse number 1 of chapter 13, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and that he would depart out of this world unto the Father," and again notice the distinction, Father and he, "having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." You know, we have often made reference to some of the statements that Jesus Christ made on the cross. You know, and we sometimes make reference to that as what a person says when they're about to pass as very important. And usually it is. And we see that Jesus Christ truly demonstrated love, you know, by some of the things he said. If you love, you know, Father, forgive them. You know, when he makes statements like that, you recognize where your heart is. But here we have Jesus Christ recognizing that his end was coming. So not just at the last of it, but in terms of the last hours, but when he saw that the days were near, it was probably weeks, and he recognizing that this time of his departure was near, he took it upon himself to teach some things, to provide some instructions to his followers. And I don't know about you, but I have become fascinated about what are some of the key things that Jesus Christ would want to say, having been in his ministry for years and preparing his disciples. What would he now want to talk about? What would be resting on his mind that he wants to leave with his disciples? And so let us, as we frame the wider context, beyond the near context that we have thus far explored, let us take a look, a glimpse, I would say, about some of the things that Jesus Christ went about talking. And I put it to us that among the first things that he spoke about trying to leave with his followers is the importance of humility. Are you with me? The importance of humility. But in the context of our verse 22 or 14, allow me to say a little on verse 2 of chapter 13. And it says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put on the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." And so I just interject this here to let us recognize that inspiration does sometimes make clear distinctions. Inspiration goes out of its way to make sure that when it speaks, we can understand. And so in this verse, when Jesus Christ wanted to talk about his betrayal and who would betray him, he spoke about the mind, the heart of Judas Iscariot. Important point to know, and I'll bring this in again as we continue the lesson probably next week. But note that. Also note in that context, again to set a pace for a future part of the lesson, that in verse 8, we see Peter. And this embodies the essence of what Jesus Christ is now instructing. From verse 7, "Jesus answered and said unto him, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou, Jesus, shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And so what Jesus Christ was speaking about here is the importance of humility. And so he was demonstrating humility by washing the feet of the disciples. But I introduce Peter because at a later lesson, we want to contrast Judas with Peter. But I like Peter. Peter, when Jesus Christ, demonstrating the humility and say, "Well, I'm going to wash your feet." And Peter said, "No, I'll never allow you to do that." And so when Jesus says to him, well, if I don't wash, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, then you have no part with me. And you see the humility in Peter coming out, and the common sense in Peter coming out. Peter said unto him, don't wash my foot only, verse 9, but wash my hands too. And guess what? Wash my head too. And so we need to embody this lesson and this instruction of humility, that we must be willing always to serve. That we must embody a humble attitude. Let us not be proud. Because Peter could have gotten proud here, you know, and said, well, me the talk and say, don't wash my foot, so I'm going to stick to that. But when we realize that the instruction given by Jesus Christ is coming from him, then we must always be humble enough to accept it. Because humility goes two ways. And a lot of us fail there. But I said I was just touching. So that was humility. One lesson. Humility. But not only did Jesus in his last days and in his instructions and discourse to his disciples highlight humility, but he also spoke about the betrayal that was near. And again, this is impacting because it speaks to Judas. For Judas would have betrayed Jesus Christ. And in verse 21, because this whole instruction spreads from about verse 21 through to about verse 30. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. So he spoke about his betrayal. And verse 26, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Again, I emphasize Judas Iscariot. So in the wider, you see how far we have gone? We have stepped away from chapter 14. We are all the way in chapter 13. But we have seen multiple references to Judas Iscariot. But that was Jesus speaking about his betrayal. So Jesus in his discourse and in what was to come, man, in the midst of something as heavy as this to him, would have, you know, the whole betrayal. You can imagine that this would have been something that would be resting on Jesus' mind. But realize that as heavy as this betrayal was in the mind of Jesus Christ, he took time out to also speak about the importance of humility and forgiveness, showing how important this is in his sight. Another important discourse or set of instructions and what Jesus spoke to, and I love this one, because, and it starts in chapter 14. Before we get to that, in verse 30, he speaks too of his departure. You know, I guess I really want to get to heaven, and I'm racing to chapter 14, but we'll come to that. But before heaven, there is departure. Before heaven, there is departure. I'm not sure how I've heard it, you know, but it goes something like this. There are so many persons who want to go to heaven, but they don't want to die. Heaven is our goal. Jesus was going to ascend to heaven. He was going back to his Father. But before heaven, he has to depart. You know, we said earlier that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared set of persons. And so we must prepare ourselves. You know, now we grieve with the passing of Sister Audrey. We grieve in respect to the passing of Sister Garit. But they are, like us, really on a journey towards heaven. And it's just that they have gone ahead of us. It's just that they have departed this world ahead of us. And we can be comforted that they were preparing themselves. And so it is now for us to make sure that we continue our preparation so that we can join them in heaven in the hereafter. But Jesus spoke from verse 33, or from verse 31 really, of chapter 13. And in verse 33 he says, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, as I have said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." And what we are seeing here is that Jesus Christ is saying, "I must go. Whither I go." But in that statement, "whither I go," Jesus Christ is proclaiming that he is about to depart. You know, as he spoke about that, and again, because of the contrast we'll be doing later with Judas and Peter, I want us to recognize that while Jesus Christ spoke about the betrayal of Judas, he also spoke about the denial of Peter. But over and over again, the emphasis is made. And I don't want us to forget that we are still talking about context. And so in verse 34 and 35, we see Jesus Christ continuing that profound truth and continuing to emphasize that context. And he says, "A new commandment." New. So every commandment is not the Ten Commandments. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." So that emphasis on love continues even beyond the near context, but in the Father context. "As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye love one another." And so we see more learning here, because it is sometimes easy for us to get into this mode. I love God, and so I keep his commands. And I love God. I love Jesus. I love the Holy Spirit. But here we are seeing that if you love Jesus, then it is important that we demonstrate love one for another. And so love is an important principle that Jesus Christ, even in the context of his departure, emphasized over and over again. I can now go to the part that was tickling me, and I think I'll have to end with that point. In chapter 14, it starts, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." God, referring to the Father, and me, Jesus Christ. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." God and Jesus Christ are distinct. Jesus Christ is God. He is a person making up the Godhead. And he says, "I've gone to prepare a place for you." Heaven is a prepared place. We have to prepare ourselves. And he says, "I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again." Heaven wants to welcome us. We need to prepare ourselves for it. You know, as we step down through this whole discourse of heaven, you know, we see one of the interruptions in verse 8, where Philip saith unto him, "Show us the Father, and it will suffice us." You know, and Jesus sort of, in a reprimanding way, you know, said to him, "Have you not seen me? Have I been so long time with you, and thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Our time is gone on me. Let me wrap this up. What I wanted to see is that Jesus Christ, from chapter 13 right to chapter 16, was on a quest, talking and giving specific instructions concerning humility, his betrayal, his departure, heaven. And in our immediate context that we spoke at length of last week, he was speaking about the Holy Spirit. Why is that important to this lesson? Because while the lesson is not Iscariot, in this series, we are aiming to understand better that God, consisting of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is very deliberate in how they, as God, communicate to us. It is no mistake that when we sojourn the context of this, that several times Judas is mentioned, but we see Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot. But in our immediate context, chapter 14, verse 22, Judas said, not Iscariot. There is an important principle of communication that we are getting at, that God communicates effectively, that God is not on a quest to confuse us concerning deity. That they are not on a quest to confuse us concerning the Trinity, but that God communicates clearly. When we pick up the lesson next week, we will continue to still frame the Father context of this not Iscariot and look at some of the other instructions that we are going to see importantly, that even though there was a speaking on the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ continued to speak about different things, but he came back to the Holy Spirit. And so part of this lesson will be us understanding better that person in the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. But that's next week, God's willing. At this time, we will invite the song leader to come with a song of encouragement. What's the number? 557, 557. You know, we invite you to stand, and as we sing, let us respond positively, because Jesus Christ loves us.